We'll talk about Abraham, and we'll talk a whole lot more than I'll typically talk, and because I want you to get this feeling. I want to read a lengthy passage of Scripture, and then I want to talk to you a little bit. So Genesis 22. If you need the Scripture, Genesis 22. Now, for those of you who are going to tar and feather me because I'm not reading from King Jimmy's translation, this is the translation that I use mostly, it's ESV. But this particular passage is all the same in all the translations. The best translation for you to use is the one you'll read. Day 8. I am having a horrible time.
Myron's going to get me.
Okay. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to these young men, "Stay here with the donkey and the boy. We'll go over there and worship. Come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son. He took it in his hand, the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, my father," he said, "here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When he came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abraham reached out his hand, took his knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him there was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, took the ram, offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. I must confess to you, when I heard all of y'all's stories tonight, I began to think, hell gets nervous when a bunch of saints get together and talk like we've been talking tonight. Hell gets nervous when all of a sudden we are hearing from God. People said, "What's the last thing I heard from God?" In fact, if you've ever read This Present Darkness by Peretti, you begin to understand the demons have been rallied together in troops when they hear testimonies like we've heard tonight. And indeed, some demons are asking for help. Now, this does two things. It tells you God's in our midst, but it tells you we need all of God. We need to listen. Now, church, y'all have talked a whole lot about church. There's several of you Catholics in here. I just can't believe it. I went to church all my life. My parents were divorced when I was born, so I was raised by my grandparents first 4 years on a farm in southern Mississippi, and my grandmother's the most devout Baptist you've ever seen, and I mean, we just went to that church religiously, and I didn't know until I got to college. This is the meanest place in the state, this whole area, this mean place, and I was raised in a good Christian family. My father was a Pentecostal preacher. My parents were remarried. Well, here I am raised in a Baptist church. I don't know what your thoughts. Some of you Catholics, you understand this more than some of us do, especially Lutherans, Episcopal. to church, to a lot of people, is beauty. God is beauty. God is aesthetics. God is atmosphere. God is stained glass. You know, a lot of this people are people who pray, but they really don't believe God intervenes in daily life. Okay? Maybe he's a therapist. You know, but God speak? Do what? They do all the talking. God listens. Okay? Now, here's the other extreme. I know some people, I don't know about you, but God talks to them all the time. I've been with a few people in my life and carried on conversation with them, and I couldn't tell when they were talking to me and when they were talking to God. I mean, it was God this, God told me to get what parking place to get. He told me what. God just talked to them all the time. Now, somewhere between those two that I just talked about, there's a balance. Somewhere between those extremes, let's talk about through this course. But let me just tell you, put this in your pipe and smoke it. It's not as important what you say to God as what God says to you. Now, just make sure that you, Jan, I'm going to have to use my Mississippi terminology. This is one of those things you chew your cud on, okay? So from the you Yankees, this is ruminate. All right, so here is something that's important, and understand this the rest of this class. It's not as important as what we say as much as what God says to us. We talk a lot about how to pray. We talk about how to speak to God. We talk about how to sing. We talk about how to not use God's name in vain. But you know what? Most people don't have a speaking problem. They have a hearing problem. If you can't hear, you can't speak. How many of you know deaf and dumb children or what have you? It gets to the point to where they aren't speaking because they can't hear. We haven't experienced this with our own daughter. About 2 years old, ended up multiple, had problems in her ear, had to have tubes. She wasn't speaking as much as she should have at that point. I want you to know, put tubes in her ear. She started talking when we left the hospital. She hadn't quit talking since. But it's the issue of not speaking problem. It's a hearing problem. If you can't hear, you can't speak. You're deaf and dumb. So let's learn to listen to God, or you may not have a whole lot to say. Maybe we should be focusing on what and how and when we talk to God. Maybe we should be talking about what God talks to us. How does he talk to us? In the book of Revelation, you know that great scripture that says, "He that has a mouth, let him talk." Now, if you don't, you're not a Bible scholar, it's not really what it says. "He that has an ear, let him hear." What's the Spirit saying to the church? And I had goosebumps several times tonight because I hear the Spirit speaking to this church now through this group of people. We need to practice hearing from God. What does it sound like? What does God's voice sound like? Does he have a high-pitched voice like mine? Does he have a bass voice like Don's? Does he have a woman's voice? Oh, Lord, help him. But what does he sound like? How do we to learn to listen to God? And the Hebrew says we have another set of senses that we don't typically exercise, and they're exercised best by use. It's the inner ear it refers to as a circumcised ear. The ear of the soul. Elijah calls the still small voice. Some people may call it a feeling, an unction. Some people may call it a whatchamacallit, a thingamajig. You know, I don't know what it is, but I know when I go in that room, I get feelings. You know, what is the conversation that's going on? Be careful. Be quiet. The inner voice wants to speak. But you know what? Especially in our culture today, there is so much noise around us we can't hear God. How can we walk with a God that we can't hear? How can we hear when every waking moment everybody's plugged into some device? And now you expect to hear God? I like to think about God like a navigation system. I don't know how y'all ever use GPS and nav systems, Hertz Never Lost, whatever you use. I had one of the greatest life lessons using Hertz Never Lost. I had a big, important meeting with the president of a denomination, and he was outside of Greenville, South Carolina. I'd stayed east of Greenville, and his church was north of Greenville, and I said, there's got to be a way to get straight across without having to go all the way back in Greenville. And so I said, I've got Hertz Never Lost. It can get me across there. And so you know what? I started across that country road, never seen those streets in all my life. And I listened to that woman. Turn left. And I got to one where there was no street sign. Zero street sign. Said, turn right. And she was right. And I got to that fellow's office and I said, man, I just had one more experience with God. I listened to this woman. If I listened to my wife like that, I'd be a king. And so I said, but all of a sudden I got hit between the eyes. I said, what if I listened to God like I listened to that woman? There's no street sign. I'm in a country road that I don't know what is. Your navigational system. How do you listen to your nav system? How could you listen to God to lead your life the way you listen to GPS? I don't know. Then you know what GPS? You make a wrong turn, what should you say? When saved, make a U-turn, you know. What would happen if God told you that? Sometimes God needs to get us back on track. But how can we hear from God? Oh, we feel like we've got to call somebody. We've got to listen to music. We've got to go to a Bible study. We've got all kind of stuff going on. If I get busy enough, I don't have to listen to God. Now, I'll have to tell you, unfortunately, having spent years in publishing and church work, on one foot in business and one foot in ministry, is that on the business side of it, we have unfortunately been guilty of trying to make people busy, 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 busy. That's why this takes 13 weeks. I'm really serious. Listen, not only does it take 13 weeks, we had a grading system that you reported to headquarters. Did you finish that? Keep people busy. God says, turn some of this stuff off. Some of you, the last thing God told you, you've already said this. Do you have enough bodacious faith that you can actually turn some stuff off and quit being so busy? And we need to listen to see what the Spirit's saying to the church. If we would, we wouldn't fear anybody, any affliction, any circumstance. If God be for you, who's going to be against you? Back to Abraham, by the way. God's friend. You notice in that whole passage, God doesn't give very good directions. He says, take your son, go over to that country and go over yonder. That sounds like from Mississippi. Go over yonder. Where? He didn't give very good directions. He didn't give him any details. He had to walk by faith. We have to have too many facts, not enough faith. Here he was, a friend of God, been waiting all of his life for a child. After God promised Isaac to him, he had to wait 25 years before he had Isaac. And so here he is, finally has a child, and God says, now, listen to me. So when he did that, he didn't give good directions. But he had to have faith to listen. Now you go back and tell Mrs. Abraham that, you know, that baby that God gave you, now here you are, your knees are all wrinkled, you're old. I'm just going over yonder and I'm going to take a kid over there and I'm going to offer him as a burnt offering. Now, see, this is not a good marriage message here. This is not good marriage for people thinking about marriage. You know, here he is saying, I'm going over yonder. No, I'm not crazy. It's a hard sell when God doesn't give us a lot of details. He doesn't give me a lot of details for a lot of journeys, but he gives me a destination and the journey. You know why he does that? To train me how to hear his voice. If I've got all of the details all along the way, I don't have to hear his voice so much. But here is where we are now. We're praying about, oh, where to go? Give me the details. Give me day by day. Give me blow by blow. Experiencing God that we're going to be talking about is not about where we're going, but it's what we learn in the process of getting there. Take anything, everything that I learned. He was training Abraham's ear to hear his voice under pressure. Several of y'all have talked about pressure. You have had tests. He just says, walk with me. I've ordered your steps. Take a step. Take a baby step. Take a giant step. Lord brought you here tonight because you're about to take another step. I heard some people tonight that are about to take some monumental steps. God's not big on the big details. But here's Abraham and here's Abraham, he says, son, servants, you know, here are all his donkeys, and he says, y'all stay here. Me and the boy are going on up on this hill. And here he is, talking about being a leader. Have you ever, been in business where you do these long-range plans, strategy, plan? You want to make God laugh? Tell him what you've planned. You know, sometimes it's like being a spiritual comedian. Tell God what you want. You want to see God laugh? So he told his folks, Abraham says, don't know where I'm going, but I'm going up yonder. He's teaching me to listen. He'll tell me while I walk. As I walk. When you learn to listen to God, you have to be in motion. An immobile object has no direction. Just be a rock and ask God to give you direction. A rock has no direction. Just start walking. You know one of the greatest frustrations I have with nav systems? I'll be going down Interstate lickety-split and I'm wanting that woman to tell me that I'm doing good. Have you ever had a nav system that tells you that? I hadn't. Man, here you are. It says 20 miles to the next exit. I want you to tell me that I'm doing good. Tell me something. You know. Yeah. But you know the problem we have with nav systems? They're silent too much. I've already heard some people, I had at least three of you I've made notes of, that you got to learn silence and wait. Endure silence. So here's Abraham leading up the pressure. He's in a jam. He's following, but he has no directions. He's got calamities. You ever thought about sometime God puts you in a gym to train your inner ear? God puts you in a calamity to train your inner ear. It's not a problem. It's not an issue. It's a gem to be in a gem. But the closer he got to his destiny, the more he had to release his history. Here he is. He's ready to go. He's ready to separate. Take him up to the mountain. Closer you get to God's will, the smaller the crowd will become. He went on with the son. Jacob was alone with God. Paul was alone in a jail cell. Jesus was alone in the garden. Stop fighting about being alone. God will whisper to you when you're alone. He'll speak to you when you're by yourself. Just him and you. God said, I will provide. God himself will provide. I've come this far and I can't worry about provision when destiny is calling me. Walk as I go. Trust him what I need, what he'll provide. The burnt offering, animals typically tied down to the wood. And here he tied his son, raised his hand to slay his son. Now, what I ask you in your telling about yourself, Abraham was acting on the last thing he heard from God. He was operating on past revelation. Problem with most of our churches today, we operate on past revelation. We don't keep listening to God. Right there, and don't miss this for the rest of this class. What would have happened, number one, if Abraham did not listen to God and said, go over yonder, and he went for 3 days? And then he gets all the way up here. God will provide a sacrifice. And he gets all the way to the top and ties his son on the wood. And then he raises his hand and ready to slay his son. What if his inner ear had not been developed and he had not heard God? What if that particular time God spoke? And he was out of sorts by then. He was tired. He was absolutely worn out. God, you have absolutely taken me to the backside of nowhere, and his belly aching. What would have happened had Abraham not listened to the voice of God? He would have killed his only son, his only child. Don't kill your dreams. A bunch of you have talked about that. Don't kill your witness. Don't kill your destiny because you've gone deaf to his voice. He raised his hand and God peeled back the heavens and said, stop! And Abraham listened. His will was just a test. You know what? It's an interesting thought. His son couldn't redeem the world. God already had that planned out. It was his perfect son that we just celebrated the cross this past weekend. So it's not Abraham's Isaac who could redeem the world. That wasn't the issue. He was dealing with Abraham's will and his ability to listen to him. I don't want your son. I want your ear. I want to know I can interrupt you, that I can change your direction. By the way, since I've gotten your attention now, look over your shoulder. No, I told Abraham that. And said, look over your shoulder. And then, we'll do that next time. I'm going to bring a ram in here. He said, look at that ram caught in the thicket. Here he is. He stopped. He got his attention. Do you ever realize, to study this in that country, y'all just went over there, it's not normal for those rams to be up on top of mountains. Okay? At the same time Abraham was listening to God without pure directions and coming up on one side of the mountain, here's a ram coming up on the other side of the mountain. They didn't even know each other were there. All of a sudden he looks and there's a ram tangled up And God had been making a provision as he was walking up the mountain. So just keep on walking. Just keep on listening. There's some people that have had some health issues. There's some people that have had some prayers answered. There's some people that still need God to speak. Just keep on walking. Keep on listening. So that's kind of the overview of where we are. What this course is about is how do I get there? How do I get there? Do you struggle somehow to really know what God's saying to you? Somehow we want to reorient ourselves to God. We want to take our GPS. I have a GPS on my phone, and I have a satellite finder where I can find where dish satellites are. And I have to, I don't know why you do that, but you have to take it and do it in a figure eight to recalibrate that GPS so it knows where those satellites are. We need to recalibrate our positioning GPS so that we can reorient ourselves to God. And the first step is to learn that God is a person. God is a person who relates to people by speaking to them and guiding them. And that we can relate to God in an intimate, personal way. And if some of you, it's interesting if y'all talk about the different denominational backgrounds here. Here I am, raised a Pentecostal, got into publishing in the 70s. The charismatic movement was exploding. I learned more from the Bible-believing Catholics than any other group I worked with. I did. I was working with all of them. And God was speaking into a desert that most of them had not reading the Bible. And so here they were listening to God, and God was blessing powerfully. Was blessing powerfully. I was at one meeting, one of you talked about Lutherans. I was at a meeting in Minneapolis of 20,000 Spirit-filled Lutherans in a meeting at one point. Yes! I never heard such worship and praise in all my life. God was speaking through those people. That's where we are. How is God speaking? We know throughout Scripture He spoke. We know He talked to Moses. We know He talked to Abraham. We can just talk about all of it. His Scripture says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they'll follow me. How are we going to listen to God? Now, be careful. There was a fellow named, I bet you don't even know his name. I never heard this. Vernon Howell. Anybody heard that name? That's unusual that somebody knows that name. It's from Seventh-day Adventist background, very strict, religious, good folks. I've worked a lot with a lot of them. Very traditional approach to Christianity. And then he began to walk claiming that he was hearing God guide him into a new level of spirituality. And he became a radical offshoot of his denomination down in Texas. They were called the Branch Davidians. So here David Koresh was somebody who was listening to Satan. But one thing, if you will center your place, yourself, your life, your family, everything that you're doing in this course, you will first learn that the Bible is God-centered. And every time I open the Scripture, I am going to come face to face with the author. And it's a relational, intimate relationship. He is not somebody that's afar off. He's a loving father. We have to establish that first. We have to establish this idea. The Hebrew idea of knowing someone is experiential. Too many people don't know how to experience God. I was responsible for all of our 7 seminaries and 58 colleges. Unfortunately, most of these people have studied and studied and studied with mental gymnastics to the point to where they have no longer have experiential relationship with God. He's a formula. So when we began to go through this course, then we will learn in the very beginning that this is a loving God. What I'm going to ask you to do, take your workbook. There's a few blessed ones of y'all that will do every comma and every bit of this. But start with Unit 1, God's Will for Your Life, and start out by Jesus Is Your Way. And the way this is designed, you will learn the basics of understanding a loving relationship with God. Jesus will be your model. He is your example. And the way it's designed, there is day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4. As many times as that I have taken people through this, I will typically say, you can easily do this in 10 minutes each day. Invariably, they come back and say, but God begins to move and I can't just spend 10 minutes. I have to spend more time. I have to dig deeper. And I challenge you, that will happen to you. But day 3, day 4, go on page 19. Now, some of you are those trained managers that on that diagram at the bottom of the page. I may have a different addition to y'all. Let me try this. Let's look at this. Look on your back cover. Yeah, there you are. What page is that?
21.
21. We've got like 6 editions of this. On page 21. Most people say, here's God. I want to get involved in His work. And I want to obey and do it. That's the norm, okay? God says, I want to take you a roundabout way. You're going to learn relationship with me. Then you're going to learn how to listen as I invite you to what I'm already doing. I'm going to begin speaking to you. There's going to be a crisis belief. So look at that diagram, and the whole thing will be around that diagram. So Unit 4, Unit 5, each one of those do what God leads you to do. I'm going to leave it up to Him and you. What God leads you to do. So go through Unit 1 for next week. When we do that, then you will begin to understand more. And then you will answer a question that I didn't put on there. When did you first experience God? Is salvation necessarily experiencing? I'm prayed up, packed up, and ready to go up. I don't quite understand. I don't experience God. But when you go through this, go and let God speak to you through that first section. Next week, I'm going to talk very little. I'm going to give you all stuff I'm going to hand out so you talk about what you read in Unit 1. Does that sound like a winner? I apologize for talking as much today, but it's on my heart. And I just said, if I've got to do something in a short period of time, I got to get you all up to speed fast. I want you to understand the pulse of God in this study. I was just telling a couple earlier before we started, Henry Blackaby, when I began working with him, I'd only known him a couple of years. I had a real tough day one day. I was under a lot of stress. Phone rang at the office. George, this is Henry. Are you okay? Do what? I don't know. God just told me to call you and pray for you. Are you okay? I nearly melted. This author listens to God like that. I have been with him in so many different environments, it is unbelievable. Listen to his heart. Listen to what God has taught him. Now, this has been one of the biggest movements, the two biggest movements in Christianity has been purpose-driven life and experiencing God over the last 20 years. Those are the two biggest movements in Christianity. When you look at experiencing God, looking at that as a movement, only God could have done it. It could not happen through systems or push and pull. But this God began to do things cross-denominationally that was unbelievable, unbelievable. And I'll share some different things as we go, some behind-the-scene things, show you what some things that Henry has done, we've done together, and just to show you just little testimonies of what has happened. Well, I had a video over here. Y'all talk too much. I'll do it next time. Can I pray for us? Father, you're a great, big, wonderful God, and you've done so much for us. You've done things for people that have given testimony tonight that have blessed us already. We literally could stop and not even have another class, and we could say, God, you've blessed us. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for what you have done by pulling us together in this group, because there's something extra special that's going to happen as a result of who is here and how you are speaking to them and how then you're going to speak to the rest of us through them. And God, I can't wait to hear some of the words that you're going to speak to some of the people as they begin to hear you and relate to you and have an intimacy with you they've never had before. And God, we're going to see miracles. We're going to see a glorious time so that we began to worship and praise you in new ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God, blessings to y'all. Yes, would you hand those in, please? Thank you, ma'am.
Well, congratulations to you.
Yeah.